Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Joining us right now on Basketball Central, he is a friend of the show. You can find his work at SLC Dunk. He is James Hansen, and he joins us on the program. James, thanks so much for doing this on a Tuesday. It's great to have you, and we will get to the Jazz and Donovan Mitchell last night in just a sec, but we did have some breaking news today. Robert Sarver is out. There is a new honcho in Phoenix. Matt Ishbia takes over, buys the Suns and the Phoenix Mercury as well for $4 billion. I'm just curious what your initial reaction was when you saw that news today.
Well, first, that's a huge price tag. It's a pretty desirable location. I think the Suns are kind of, you know, the Suns are a good team now already, a very good team. But you could argue they could have been better with just kind of the location. They're near California. So, you know, happy for Suns fans that they have a new owner, because I know for the longest time they've had Sarver, who's not a good owner. And sometimes having that good owner can change everything for you. Also, every other owner in the NBA has to be ecstatic because the price of their franchise just went up. So they all made a lot of money today. So I think that's interesting. And then just initial reactions from people. I mean, you know, the NBA is healthy and strong and growing, and that's just good news for everyone, I guess.
And the Utah Jazz have recently been placed under new ownership. So you've been able to kind of see firsthand when you get new faces, new minds. Dwayne Wade's a part of it now. I know that you've been able to see what that can do for a franchise, particularly in Utah. I know it's a little bit different in Utah than maybe in some other markets. But, you know, when you get that new face in there, sometimes that can really provide a jolt to not just an organization, but to a fan base as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, the Jazz had an ownership change, and it wasn't quite like the Suns, who had some turmoil with Sarver and the
investigation.
A little bit different, but at the same time, you know, for us, it was a little scary because, you know, I don't think the Millers were the greatest owners, but they also weren't the worst. They did a pretty good job running the Jazz and for the most part ran them pretty well. And did a good job just keeping the Jazz in Utah, which is kind of one of the most important jobs when you're an owner. Honestly, the biggest thing for fans is, like, we just don't want our team to go somewhere else. We'll take a bad owner over having no team at all any day of the week. So, you know, so I'm sure that's kind of solace for Suns fans, knowing the Suns will be in Phoenix. I don't think that was ever an issue, but it's, you know, and so also there's just like that little bit where it's going to be interesting for Suns fans. What moves are they going to make? How is the team going to change? Is it going to be a good owner, a bad owner? Are they going to be really hands-on? Are they going to let people do their jobs? Are they going to bring in lots of coaching staff and front office? You know, that's another thing I don't think people think about a lot is, you know, the owner can decide how big or small they want their front office. Do they ramp up their scouting department? Do they ramp up their, you know, free agency team, their player personnel people and things like that? Or, you know, are they a cheap owner that doesn't do a good job with that? You know, those are things that maybe fans don't think about or see, but they are things that make a franchise better. And Utah, the Jazz have improved in that way, I know, in a lot of ways, especially the last 5-6 years. So we'll see what happens with Phoenix. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I did some half-assed internet research today. I mean, this Matt Ishbia guy buys the two teams for $4 billion. A quick Google search tells me that his net worth is $5.59 billion. So there's still $1.59 billion left over, I would assume. So
there you go.
It kind of said, but you know what? Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe this guy is all in because he knows, like, hey, well, geez, this has to work, right? Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, for him, his allowance is buying an NBA team. Mine is like buying 2K the next year or something like that.
Oh,
a little
man.
Different.
You know what it's about, James? It's just about, you know, buying a car without having a car payment. That's all we want.
There you go.
Right?
If you could do that, you're living like a king.
Yeah, yeah. James Hansen joining us, SLC Dunk on Basketball Central. We'll get to the Jazz, I promise, in a couple of seconds. But last night, James, Damian Lillard became the all-time Portland Trailblazers leading scorer. This is a guy who has wanted to stay in Portland. He's loyal to a fault. He keeps saying he wants to win there, wants to be a part of the solution. Do you think last night was, and Dame in general, really, but do you think that was a win for the, I guess, the smaller market NBA teams who can only win if they get lucky in the lottery? I felt good to see that last night, because as excited as we get about player movement and all that stuff, it's good to see a story like Dame once in a while.
Yeah, it's, you know, Damian Lillard is just an elite, elite NBA player, and he kind of gets a little overlooked just because he is in a smaller market that doesn't get a ton of, you know, doesn't get the same recognitions as the Golden States and the Lakers and, you know, these big market teams. And so, but for him to do that and to be loyal to that team is pretty awesome. You know, it's for Portland, they really, I mean, hitting a home run in the lottery is kind of an understatement, because to get a guy like that, that is so electric, he's so fun to watch. Everything he does is just incredible. And it's not just like the scoring, it's, he's so clutch. I mean, how many playoff big time shots has he hit, you know, playoff game winners and things like that. He's just, he's incredible. And then the fact that he wants to be there, he stays loyal to that city, and it's just, you know, you can't help but be happy for Portland fans. And I know a lot of the discussions with the NBA are about, well, how do you win the title? And do you have to like trade Dame so you can get more draft picks and maybe get better? And it's like, yeah, you could do that, but then you wouldn't have this connection that Portland fans have with Damian Lillard, which is pretty special. It just doesn't happen all the time. You know, there's so much player movement. Players go from team to team these days. You know, Kevin Durant goes from Oklahoma City to Golden State to the Nets. You know, Donovan Mitchell leaves Utah, goes to Cleveland. These types of things, you just, it's just kind of normal now. You know, Kawhi Leonard leaves the Spurs, goes to Toronto. Now he's in the, on the Clippers. And so for Dame to be on that team and to stay loyal to that team, it's a pretty special thing, and not something we see as often these days, where you have that connection between fan base and player. Just, it's something to just be happy for Portland fans, I would say.
And that kind of brings us to Donovan Mitchell and why I wanted to have you on the show today. I mean, it wasn't Donovan's return to Salt Lake City. That is still to come, but he faces his old team for the first time last night. Cavs win comfortably. Dame or Mitchell looks pretty good. How did it all look in your eyes? Because Mitchell himself said after the game that it was weird. Did it look weird to you?
It was weird. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. You know, Donovan was not happy in Utah, and you know, that's totally understandable. And hopefully he's happy in Cleveland. It sounds like he is happy there. But as far as like the basketball goes, it was just, I think before the season start, the thing about this Jazz season is most people thought the Jazz would be a lot worse than they've been. The fact they have a winning record right now is kind of remarkable. I think they're 17-16 at this point. Mm-hmm. So they've been scuffling. But at one point at the beginning of the year, they were, you know, like the number one team in the West, which is pretty wild.
12-1, obviously, I believe,
yeah. So they've kind of come back to earth, which we all expected. But, you know, Utah still has a few of the problems they had last year. What's been, I think, the most surprising thing for this Jazz team has been the offense has been so good. They've consistently been top five in the league in offense, which is just, no one predicted that. It's pretty amazing. But they've also been bottom five defense all year, and Donovan Mitchell definitely took advantage of that. He torched them in the fourth quarter, or in the first quarter. And I mean, he had 23 points in 22 minutes. He shot 4-for-5 from three. He was just out of his mind, and he kind of showed why he was, you know, just an elite level target for a lot of teams that were looking to trade for him. And you have to think that Cleveland is pretty happy with him. I mean, they've got Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell as their two guards. And then they've got, you know, Okoro that is their wing defender, and then Mobley and Allen. I mean, that's a pretty complete team. If you are, you want to talk about weaknesses, that you're going to get nitpicky, because I mean, they've just got like all their bases covered. And so it's, I don't think it's surprising. And I think they have the number one defense in the NBA right now. Cleveland does. So, you know, Utah last night was missing Kelly Olynyk and Colin Sexton. But I think if Kelly Olynyk being out is the reason you're losing games, maybe you're in trouble a little bit. As much as I like Kelly Olynyk, and I think he's been in a really important part of what the Jazz do, I don't know if I was all that surprised. And you knew that Donovan was going to come out and try to just, you know, play hard and show why he's great. And he is great. And he was amazing. And so.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I don't know what else to say. He hurt my feelings a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way that I look at it in terms of like roster building in today's NBA, you can either do it like the Cavs, or you can commit to, and I'm censoring myself, star bleepery, like the Lakers, basically, where you're just constantly floundering. So much of, you know, when you bring players in, it's about fit. And we kind of got into it there. I feel like Donovan Mitchell has found the perfect fit for his talents, because that'll get us to the Utah situation in a second. But you watch him with that Cleveland team and you go, hey, this potentially could be a finals team. I don't know that we could have thought that in Utah the last handful of years.
Yeah, I mean, he really is just, I mean, when he was in Utah, he had such a high usage percentage, but that was partly because he had to. I mean, you had Mike Conley playing off of him, but it was the Donovan Mitchell show. He has better, I think he does probably have similar spacing. Jared Allen can do a little more in the post than Rudy Gobert could, but the fact that he has Darius Garland next to him, I think, is an underrated aspect. I think people were worried, you know, how would he fit? Is he going to take shots from Garland? How are they going to find like a balance there between the two? And Donovan Mitchell, I think people didn't realize when he was in Utah, he was an elite spot up 3-point shooter. When he's getting catch and shoot threes, he's one of the best in the NBA. And so to be next to Darius Garland, who's such a good point guard and sets him up, it makes sense that his percentages have all gone up because he's taking better shots, you know, and Darius Garland is an all-star. So, you know, he's playing off of Garland, who's going to get attention. And so that's just a really tough team to guard. And so if you can, if they can stay healthy, and if they can figure out ways to take advantage of teams in the playoffs, I think, I don't know why there's no reason why they couldn't also be the team that comes out of the East. They're really good. They're a really good team.
James Hansen of SLC Dunk joining us on Basketball Central. James, Mitchell told Mark Spears that the basketball fit didn't work in Utah with Rudy Gobert. Now, he also alluded to some of the off the court stuff as well. But now that you've heard that, is it a little like closure? Because we could all kind of see it. That's all we talked about post COVID, basically, with those two and with that particular group. Does it feel good to hear that, though, and to hear Donovan say that? Because I don't think he had necessarily done that before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it is kind of in a way closure, because, you know, the 2020 season was filled with a lot of social justice things that were going on that really put a spotlight on some of the problems here in Utah. Mm-hmm. And we know that was tough for him. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's like this state has a lot that it needs to get better at. Just a fact, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. There's problems here, and there just is. And anyone who says there's not, well, you know, maybe you're just not seeing it, but, you know, so, and we knew that there were issues like that. It really ramped up during the bubble and all those different things happening. And then, you know, those next two or three seasons, it really felt like there was kind of a divide there. And, you know, it's a tough topic, because, you know, you're wanting to root for him. You want things to be better, but then just things happen in Utah that suck. And, you know, Utah, I think, is better for having had Donovan Mitchell. I think, honestly, it was a tough period for him, but I think maybe he doesn't see it, because I know he's on social media and he sees the comments on Instagram and Twitter and things. But just as someone here in Utah, I've personally seen some positive impact that he's had. People are discussing things that they might not normally discuss, and talking about things they wouldn't normally talk about. And the fact is, Utah is just not as diverse as you know, like New York or Cleveland. We're just not. And so it's kind of an uphill battle for Utah. I think people are trying, but there's definitely people here that could try harder. That's for sure. And so, yeah. I think for me, the way I look at it is, like, Utah's better off for having Donovan Mitchell. We're sad that he wasn't comfortable here, you know, but happy for him that he's happy in Cleveland. And all we can do is just try to be better and learn and grow. And And, you know, hopefully the next star that comes to Utah will be happy here. And I guess that's all you can do. I don't know. But it does feel like there's some closure. And you know, I'm personally happy for him. And I know Jazz fans are too. It's one of those where, what can you do? It'll, you know, hopefully get better next time around with our next star. So.
Yeah, that's right. One thing he did say, though, James, last night, and he sounded awfully relatable when he said it. He was talking about adjusting to Cleveland. He said, "I'm still getting used to the highways. I've never been to Utah. I've never been to Salt Lake City. I can tell you up here in Vancouver that our highway system is not very complicated at all. I go to LA and I'm terrified. So can you just shine some light on that? Like is it simple driving in Utah?"
Yeah, did he say? I guess I missed that part. Yeah, Utah's pretty straightforward with highways. I mean, it's funny. Like I when I hear that, I'm like, well, you know, just get a mount for your iPhone and just use your maps, I guess. But like, you know, it's, you know, there's the spaghetti bowl here, it's called. That's where all the highways kind of interlock near the downtown. And but outside, we have a thing here in Salt Lake called the grid, and everything, it actually goes back to pioneer times. So every street is literally like a grid. And so it's actually not too, once you're off the freeway, things are pretty straightforward here. But yeah, so I guess he's just getting used to the freeways. It's pretty straightforward here in Utah. It's not hard to get from point A to point B here. It's not LA, I can tell you that. We're definitely not that big. So
well, good. I'm glad I can learn something on this show every once in a while. That's a good thing.
Utah highways.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why you tune in. The Jazz are 5-12 after a 12-1 start. Colin Sexton's missed time. Is it just a regression? I mean, like, we're all kind of waiting for this. I guess what I'm trying to say is Danny Ainge still happy? Is everything still on schedule here?
Well, we heard that report. We actually heard, I think Danny Ainge is doing something, because we heard a report from Sham Sharania that the Jazz had been talking with Atlanta. And then Jake Fisher, a few days later from Yahoo, he reported something similar, but had actually named names that the Jazz had been looking at. John Collins and Jared Vanderbilt had been named, and kind of a three-team trade with Phoenix, who we've talked about. Apparently that fell through because of just picks and things, which also makes me wonder if it fell through because Danny Ainge is notoriously difficult. So
yeah,
but I think they're trying. I mean, this, we talked about how the Jazz started off so hot, but now that they miss, you know, they missed Colin Sexton, they missed Mike Conley for a while, they've really started skidding a little bit. I think they're one game above 500 right now, and they're losing more than they're winning, it feels like. And so we'll see what they do. I think it's kind of a crossroads at this point, because do you want to be just a play-in team that is fun to root for, that gets knocked out, or are you interested in getting kind of a top 6-7 pick in the draft? Go for that. I think that's probably what they were expecting to do before the year started. And it's, you know, because the surprise start, it changed their viewpoint a little bit. But I think the last 2-3 weeks has really kind of shown what the Jazz are, that they do have serious flaws on defense. They really do kind of lack an elite playmaker that, you know, they had with Donovan Mitchell. They don't have it anymore. And so there's just some serious flaws with this team. And I think the scouting report on the Jazz is out. Teams kind of know how to attack the Jazz. And so we'll see what they do. I would imagine they're probably going to make a trade sometime before trade deadline.
James, really appreciate this. All the best of the holiday season. And I look forward to doing it again soon.
You bet. Hey, thanks for having me.